This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScoop, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScoop.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. My name is Peter Higgins and you can find me at Conkers3 on Twitter. And I'm here with my good colleague Peter, who is at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter. This is the Twin Peaks Podcast. I'm based in Leicestershire. Pete's based in Windsor. We're not in the same room together. Yeah. We're not able to see each other. And this is an unscripted podcast from two guys that just love and enjoy and have a passion for investing. So please welcome and enjoy the next hour or so of chaos and investing mayhem. Pete, how you doing, fella?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I just got to say, it's fantastic that Dave Grohl is letting us use Sound City today, because Abbey Road was getting, it was just a bit dated, wasn't it? And it's just so nice with our modern, fresh podcast sort of thing. It's just lovely to have it, you know, in Dave's studio. Brilliant. Thanks, Dave. Nice one.
Yeah, it's nice when that two guys with no hair can come in here and rock away for an hour, you know?
Well, you know, I guess one could put wigs on if that's going to help, you know. You know me, I never mind dressing up in a wig and a dress.
Oh, I know you don't mind a wig, mate. I know you don't.
What are we going to talk about today, mate?
Pete, how you been keeping, mate?
Well, I'm all right, but it's just, mate, it's glacial. You could measure my recovery with my stomach problem in geological time, you know?
Right, okie dokie.
What are we covering?
What we're covering, mate? Well, I'm going to cover the markets in a minute. I'm going to see how we've got on since the last one. Okay. I want to thank everybody for their fantastic feedback. You know, we had such a buzz in the last podcast with Mr. Martin Stamp of ShareScope, SharePad fame, and it seemed to go down so well. The feedback we've had regarding that particular show has been absolutely immense, and it was such fun. And it's really, really good to have all you ladies and gents give us the feedback regarding that particular show. One disappointment I had initially was, Pete, that nobody had picked up on my comment regarding a different aspect of the podcast, which is about pets. When I said, maybe it's taken a pause, P-A-W-S. No one picked up on it until Dean Brooks at Lynn Cart Brooks. Hello there, fella. Picked up on it and he said was particularly dismayed that Conkers in brackets maybe it's taken a pause comment on the pullback of pets didn't get any attention, almost as good as one of Wheelie's jokes. Get in,
I tell you. Dean is worth following on Twitter just for his funny comments. He comes out with some absolute belters, honestly. I love the guy, he's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, it was really, really good. Martin was absolutely on fire regarding the podcast. And I think the beauty of it is that Martin doesn't do interviews, you know, and we were so, we pestered and we got him. And
he only came a year.
Yeah, and he came on the show and he just shared his journey. And I don't think people realise how much work goes into putting that particular software package and different packages together, and the amount of work that's done in the background, and people just log in and obviously they expect it to be working and to be brilliant every single time, but there's a lot of moving parts to it all the time regarding what's going on. So yeah, I'm absolutely chuffed with how that went down, and thanks again to Martin Stamp for coming on, and thank you all for giving it a listen as well.
The thing that really hit me about it, I mean, obviously he talked about product features and stuff, you know, which you'd expect him to do. But it was interesting to get all the history and that, and to make you sort of think back. I mean, I only really started, I was going to say seriously investing, but that's like a bit of a stretch. But I only really got involved in the markets in really sort of 1999, which was the worst possible time at the height of the dot-com market. And the thing is, we were spoilt then, because we had this amazing thing called the internet. I was working for an IT company, so we had super fast ISDN lines and stuff, so we could access things like ADVFN and that, no problem at all, and you know, ShareScope, whatever, you could access, no trouble. And you could, you had online dealers emerging who were so cheap to deal. And it's just incredible that they were, they started ShareScope when it was just dial-up modems and you could only get a little bit of information on the FTSE 350. I just find that just blows my brain and sort of makes me appreciate how what myself and you, Peter, do every day. We could never have done it without this technology change. Yeah, we'd all be blinking wage slaves still and working our butts off. I'd hate that, man.
I think you make a key point there, Pete. I think it's accelerated people's financial freedom almost without a doubt, and that's why people have voted for it and it's won so many awards. Because I'm one of those toys. You know what I mean? I'm there crunching numbers and doing it all manually and da-da-da-da, reading all of the time. And it's great to have a platform or a software package or something that just cuts through the noise and cuts through some of those fundamentals ever so quickly, so you can filter down to the best four or the best three or the best two, and then really dig down into that to that particular those two particular stocks before you choose to make a purchase, so you're not going in there blind. So yeah, I mean, we had this lady, I think she follows both of us, Pete, at Jean Black Jean,
Oh, James, she's great. Lot
yeah,
lot
lovely lady, and it's great to have some female listeners also giving us feedback. She said another great podcast, the guest speaker was very interesting. Thank you both for taking the time to put it all together. So thank you, Jean, for that.
Brilliant. Love
Yeah,
it.
I mean, Pete, I think what it is for me is that we need to realize that investing is difficult, and there's other people, not just Martin, other people that over the past 5, 10, 15, 30, 40, 50 years have enabled us to have a better footing in the investment world and more knowledge out there. Yeah, by their work, we're on their shoulders, mate, as the saying goes.
Well,
Yeah.
it's Noel Gallagher, Oasis, Liam Gallagher standing on the shoulders of giants, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no. They owe a lot to Paul McCartney and John Lennon, mate. But that's a whole different ball of wax,
Oh yeah, and the
Yeah.
Sex Pistols, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
Is this
one
a
of the other.
music
This
podcast,
is not a
or
music podcast.
is this a music
Another
podcast? You want me to talk
shout
about
out
Heavenly
here
Sight?
from. At one James one N one James. Congrats on TPI 50, gents, wheelie dealer, and at Conquers 3. He's wishing you the very best as you start the next 50. Thank you, James, for that.
Cheers, mate. Nice one.
Pete, I want to touch on the charity because I have a bit of news on the charity. I know we're going to just briefly do it. And I want to thank all of you, ladies and gents, that have continued to support this charity that Pete and I bang on about every single podcast. But it's an absolutely fantastic cause that we're doing in supporting disabled children in the community. And you, ladies and gents, are part of this, and you've absolutely been absolutely fantastic, and we're ever, ever so grateful. There's a chap by the name of Peter Max, and I'm trying to locate who he is because he's made a donation of £200
Oh,
offline.
good name, mate,
Yeah,
Peter. Like it.
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not
So
biased.
I'm trying to locate Peter Max just to thank him properly and probably do a DM or a tweet to him. But Peter donated £200 offline donation. Our balance at the moment for that charity is sitting at 3,683.80 at this particular moment in time. So I want to thank you all that have made a donation. We had BDI at Stu Stanford. He made a donation. Great work by the Pete and a great cause. 138% of the target, superb. We're now sitting at 147 of our initial target. We had this chap is called Mark. His name is given is Hipstar Space, and he's well done to Peter and Pete, and keep up the great work, Mark. Pete H's cousin-in-law, he's donated £25. I know him very well.
Oh,
Is it
wow.
is
Oh,
is it,
that's
yeah,
cool.
he's a good guy.
That's
And John Cameron, well done, Peter and Pete. Great cause, £20 and gift aid.
nice one.
Chap using the name of Will. Really enjoy your podcast, which is entertaining as well as having lots of useful info on here. So I'm happy to be able to contribute to your charity. Good luck with the rest of the fundraise.
Is
Some
he talking about our podcast?
talking about our podcast, yes, mate.
Okay, no, nice
Yes,
one, Will. Thanks, mate.
there you go, there you go. There's somebody I forgot to mention a little while back as well. Kevin Investing 86, thank you very much for the great work you put into the podcast. This donation is the least I could do for all the great content you've provided. That's exactly the sentiment. Thank you ever so much there, Kevin Investing 86. Richard Griffin, yes, thank Kevin. You. Richard Griffiths, Anonymous, another 100 there. I need to go back to somebody. At Trader Diary donated to us a while back, yes. Pete. And I think it was one of them periods of time where we weren't actually giving everyone a shout out. But we need to go back to Trader Diary who donated. I think it was either 50 or 100. I'm trying to scroll back down to it. But we're in a position now where I can't even scroll back quick enough to get to it. But he did. And I just want to say thank you to Trader Diary for that donation. On the Just Giving page, it's justgiving.com/fundraising/TwinPete's Challenge, and you can find us there and make a donation directly to that charity fundraising that we're doing. Right, Pete, where do you want to start?
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Pete's Investing podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
Well, mate, we'll start at the start, if that's all right.
Do you want to talk markets first?
Yeah, why not, mate? I like that.
A bit about the markets. We were sitting really in a fortunate position. We started the month quite well, didn't we, if you remember? FTSE 100 was doing all right. And I mean, bizarrely, Pete, you know, we eked out another 2 weeks and we're actually up, mate. We're sitting at 7,184 today. Yeah.
It's weird because I mean I really get this sense we're in this concept called a melt up, where it's like you have like really low volume and nothing's really happening, but the market just sort of drifts higher. And I think it's a similar sort of thing to what you get around the Santa rally, sort of just before Christmas and between Christmas and New Year and a little bit afterwards, where there's not really much volume about, not a lot's happening, but stocks just seem to sort of slowly sort of melt upwards. I love that phrase. I think it's brilliant. And it reminds me of something Nicola Duke said, at Nick Trades on Twitter, and it really sticks in my brain. And that was this thing that she said, never short a quiet market. And that just is such brilliant advice. And I just think anyone who's thinking of shorting anything, it's not a great time to be doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that sentiment. I mean, the markets are very, very unpredictable, and they'll always will be. I mean, the interesting thing that I keep noticing about the market is that from one day to the next, there'll be concerns about inflation, Pete, and there's talk about, you know, increased costs. And I'm going to have a bit of a talk about that bit later on. One day, the markets over a couple of days, the markets will go down 1 or 1.5% or so because of concerns about inflation. And then over the course of the next 3 or 4 days, it'll go up 1 or 1.5%. The conversation hasn't really changed. To be honest with you, I really don't know why we're heading towards that 7,200 so far, and what the markets will need to get through that, or why they won't fall back, you know, to that sort of trading range we're in at the minute, which takes us to 7,075 is our basic sort of 2.5 week average sort of trading range. But we're right at the very top of that at the minute. That's a new closing high, end of day closing high for us today at 7,184. So it's looking positive, but, you know, I'm mindful that we can't get too carried away because the markets, you know, can just blink and on some other news. And, you know, we could come out today or the next couple of days and Biden and Putin have had a really, really big fallout and the market goes, and, you know, the market just wobbles down. We really, really don't know.
Yeah, we're recording this on the evening of Wednesday, the 16th of June, 2021. And it's just after the markets have closed and stuff. But I was looking today and we've had like a sort of inverted hammer candle, which can sort of suggest that some sort of pullback might happen. But when markets are quiet like this, you don't necessarily need to get an actual drop. What you can get is just more sideways grinding And that sideways grinding sort of unwinds an overbought RSI reading on the daily or whatever, your relative strength index. The other thing I find quite interesting, and we're going to talk about this in a minute because I've sort of got a long position on the FTSE 100. I think that when you look at it relatively, so you look at the US, you look at the CAC, you look at the DAX, and that's the French and the German indexes and whatever. The UK index is the laggard by a long way, and it has done for years. And I sort of feel that that relative underperformance is slowly going to be corrected, and I think that's what we're seeing.
I agree with you, Pete. In comparison to our, some of our global peers, the UK markets, all the way from the FTSE 100 down to, across all the different all the different aspects of it, and the all share are undervalued in comparison, especially to the American market. But as I said to you before, I think that's because we haven't got that large body of tech behemoths that are highly priced, highly valued, and sought after. We don't have any at the moment,
Yeah, I think that's.
And our oil stocks haven't really been carrying weight like they normally would do. They're sitting not nearer that, a lot closer to their lows than they are to their highs, even though we're heading quite high regarding the price per barrel of oil. So I don't know what it's going to take, Pete, but the interesting thing is that the markets have been doing reasonably well because I think because partially because of the levels of IPOs that we've had and new money coming into the market. I think that's helped us a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's interesting because I think, you know what you mentioned earlier about inflation. I think if we do get a bit more inflation, that's obviously good for miners and things because, their pricing power's increased and whatever. But I think the other interesting thing is if we do, I mean, I don't think we're going to get much of this, but if we do get a response from central banks, however slight, that is positive for banking stocks. And I think banking stocks are unnaturally low at the moment. So if banking stocks could rise, if things like the big, AstraZeneca, AZN, and Glaxo, GSK could stay, at least where they are, sort of thing. And obviously the miners do okay. They got a pretty big weighting. And then you've got things like life insurers. They just do, life insurers go up. So like Aviva, AV Dot, and Prudential. And PRU and Chesnara and stuff like that. I mean, that's obviously a smaller one. Is it Phoenix, I think?
Yeah,
PHNX?
Phoenix is another one.
Yeah. If it's like if the markets do well, you find that life insurers tend to do well. So, insurers, life insurers tend to do well. So, I think there are things that could drive the FTSE 100 higher and get rid of some of that underperformance.
I agree with you. I was involved in a seminar last week, which had a fund manager in it, and he covers financials and insurance companies, and he was saying exactly the same, Pete. He expects those particular. I mean, obviously, he was talking his own book. I must add that bit.
Well, everyone does. Everyone does, myself. I mean,
But the
the difference
expectation,
is we're transparent.
yeah. But the what he's seeing over the next 6 to 18 months is that they might take the reins off these banks because obviously most of our banks, I'm not sure if there is a bank actually that is UK registered one, not just UK as in a UK government sort of bank, is allowed to pay a dividend at this present time. So once they actually start paying a dividend and the lower thresholds are freed up, then all of a sudden they become dividend paying investments. And the beauty of the insurance companies is that they've not had that restriction, so they're doing better over the course of the past 12 months or since March lows than our banks. And I think once the banks get back into that sort of groove of we're allowed to pay a dividend, here you are, and so on and so on and so forth, the likes of Barclays, Lloyds, NatWest, and so on and so forth, I think they will do better going forward, Pete.
No, I totally
And that
agree.
will,
And then,
and I'm reiterating what you're saying, so that will help the markets.
yeah, and if you throw in rising interest rates, even if they go up a little bit, it helps the what they call the net interest margin, which is the difference between what a bank can effectively let's just say what a bank can borrow money for and
Yeah.
what bank can lend it out at. So if that margin between those two values increases, that makes more money for the banks, makes more cash for the banks, gives banks more ability to pay dividends.
Agreed. I mean, I was saying it earlier about lots of new money coming in, and it's been a quite an act. You know, there was this sort of last year, oh, markets don't know where they're going. Ooh, you know, it's getting a bit fearful. There wasn't a lot of IPOs going on, Pete, right? So we're 4 or 5 months in now, right? And we're going up to the end of May, and there's been a significant number of IPOs. And this is a bit bizarre. This is a bizarre thing, right? You've got one company that's raised 2.3 million, right, Pete? And you've got one company that's raised a billion, right?
Whoa.
Which one do you think's performed the best?
Probably one with the 2.3 million.
2.3, right?
That
I
probably
don't know
is.
the ticker, so don't ask me the ticker, right? There's
No
one
problem.
called I can't even pronounce it. Ceres Minerals, Caerus, right? Caerus Minerals, Mineral Resources, right? IPO'd 19th of March on the main market, Pete, UK main market, and raised 2.3 million, right? It was
Bizarre.
up when I got these stats. It was up 172%, and hardly anybody has talked about it apart from the small cap, micro cap traders, and so on and so forth from various different places, right? 172%, right? The next one, another mining stock, Cornish Metals, Pete, AIM,
Right.
right? Raised 8.2 million at the time of this was written out, up 170 137%. Right, the biggest IPO we've had was called, Pete, give me the name. Recent?
What was it? The Hut Group or something?
No,
THG?
nope. Well, the Hut Group is another one. Yeah,
Alpha Wave?
Deliveroo, Pete.
No, really?
Deliveroo
Oh, man.
raised a billion, sorry. At the time, it was down 35%. It's one of the biggest duds so far. It might come good at some point, but right now, it's causing people a lot of grief.
I mean, I'm totally skeptical. I mean, basically, on most of the stuff you've just talked about there, I'm totally skeptical. What was that first one? That Siri, what was the Epic code on that first one you
Like I
mentioned?
said, I didn't know what it was, mate. One second, I'll find it for you, Peter.
So you sort of said CERUS or
C
something.
A E.
CAE.
Russ.
Oh, right.
I'm gonna find it now. C
I've
A
got that
E Russ.
Carus Minerals, CMRS.
CMRS, yeah.
Right. God.
So
Yeah, I
yeah,
mean,
so that's what I'm saying. So and all the hype around Deliveroo. The Cornish Metals one is CUSN regarding that. So it goes back to what we've always said. You've got to make sure you do your research. You've got to make sure that you're not, you know, these people aren't floating stuff to make an exit, and you know, use you, me, and everybody else as pawns to enrich themselves. And it's high risk buying into IPOs. I very rarely buy into IPOs because I want to see them established for a little while and see what they're doing. I don't mind missing out on the first 10, 20, 30, 40%. I want to see the company established. I don't want them to come out all of a sudden and say we've all sold it. There's no locking period and so on and so forth. Or we've saw it with before with Aston Martin, Pete. You know,
oh yeah.
all the hype around that, and then it went almost belly up. You know.
I mean, I remember the excellent Phil Oakley. He's at PJ Oakley, who writes in the Investors Chronicle. He did a piece on Aston Martin. It was AML, I think. He did that like sort of, you know, before the IPO or just after, and it was just so obvious from what Phil wrote that the thing was stuffed full of debt.
It was obvious, mate, but he got so much grief for it at the time because nobody wanted to hear
Well,
that.
that's it. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like, you know, we talk a lot about psychology, and one of the really important rules is you've got to keep a calm head, and you mustn't lose your objectivity. And it's like you've always got to look at a company with a really cold mindset and think, is this really a company that's going to do well? That's got a solid financial footing? Has it got a And it's, you know, established history of achieving things, or is this just something that really is pie in the sky nonsense, and you're just going to get a kick in? And so many times that happens with IPOs.
It does, mate. I mean, there's a great. I'm going to read a bit of a quote for you from Howard Marks. Yeah,
Who's he? Jose.
You know who Howard Marks is, mate. I'm not gonna insult you. So mastering the market cycle, getting the odds on your side, right? I'll read this passage here. The rational investor is diligent, skeptical, and appropriately risk averse at all times, but also on the lookout for opportunities for potential return that more than compensate for the risk. That's the ideal. But in good times, we hear most people say, risk? What risk? I don't see much that could go wrong. Look how well things have been going. And anyway, risk is my friend. The more risk I take, the more money I'm likely to make.
Oh.
Then, in bad times, they switch to something simpler. I don't care if I ever make another penny in the market. I just don't want to lose any more money. Get me out. So this goes back to, you know, I keep saying to people say to me, Pete, but you know, I was talking a week or so ago, Pete, about my portfolio being an all-time high.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Vectura had become my 45th takeover in 7 years. So I was duly celebrating. I was happy and had a few beers. I was chilling out, all the rest of it. And people, I was trying to explain via all these DMs, and I just then put a couple of tweets out. Some of this stuff has happened because I've taken a greater level of risk. Yeah?
Yeah.
I've got a largest component of my portfolio in AstraZeneca than I do what I do with the rest of the portfolio. But I'm taking a greater level of risk. But I'm taking that level of risk after I've done a lot of research. But I still get it wrong, right? Don't follow me. Don't listen to what I've said about a particular stock that I buy or whatever. Go and do your own research. And I keep saying that to people, right? And they're like, oh, no, but you... I'm like, no. Go and do your own research. Don't listen to what I'm saying. Don't listen to anybody. Go and do your own research. Do your own
research. Don't listen to me.
And find the stocks that you find. And then you have the conviction in the stock. I can't say that anymore. And that's the psychology. You've got to be able to be comfortable in your own skin regarding the skin that you've put into that company. The money that you've put in is your money. Not someone else. Someone else cannot have the conviction for that stock that you've got. And if you've got conviction because X, Y, and Z have bought it, that is not conviction. Because the minute that they've sold it, what are you going to do?
Well, you're just going to be utterly rudderless.
So you're copying them into the stock and you're copying them out of the stock.
Exactly.
And when it goes well, you've won and it's your call. But when you've lost, you're bitter because they've got you into that stock. So do your own research, folks.
Well, that's it. It's like you can't blame other people. You have to take responsibility. It's interesting. You said something there that I really like and I really picked up on. And you said, you know, I'm taking a bit of risk. I understand the risk I've got. I've got a lot of money in AstraZeneca, whatever. And I think that's a really important point. You are taking a risk and you're doing a lot of research on the companies and whatever, where you are taking, you know, higher risk, whatever. And I know that you size your positions to the perceived risk. So if you are buying something you think is actually quite risky, you don't buy as much of your portfolio in it. You know, you've got a load more in AstraZeneca than you're ever going to put in some of these risky things. But the point is, over your whole portfolio, and that includes your life, it includes the bricks and mortar you live in. It includes your human capital. It includes, you know, whatever your partner or spouse does. It includes how many kids you've got and what you have to spend on your kids and how old they are and how old you are, when you know, how far you are from retirement. So it's like looking at your risk in the round and thinking, you know, what risk does my portfolio really have? Because I think there's a lot of people out there who think they're not taking that much risk, but if they really were put on the spot about the individual things in their portfolio and the risk they're taking on these stocks, they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing that. You know what I mean? And I just think a lot of people just aren't cognizant of the risks they're taking.
I can only agree with you, Pete. I think, unfortunately, we have been, and I'm not making excuses for anybody here, Pete, so please don't take exception to what I'm saying here. We've been locked down, Pete, and I was speaking to somebody today, and you know, we are a nation of dog lovers and pets. I think we're also a nation of gamblers, Pete. I think people need to feel that buzz, and that's why we speculate. And that's why, I mean, I was reading something. I think they were saying that regarding investors and in investing or whatever you want to call it now, there's far more people investing in cryptos than overall people are investing in the stock market. Yeah,
it just scares me.
Highly, highly speculative, Pete.
It's just honestly,
you know, there's a lot of risk out there. We need to be mindful that the markets don't always go up one way, so we've just got to be careful and cognizant of the fact that, you know, we will all get it wrong at some point, and we've got to be ready for that. And if you position, I think you're going to talk about position size, you said a bit later, if we position size accordingly, if that stock takes a whack, it doesn't hurt you or impale you too long, too hard, and you can get up from it. You know, you can't have everything wedded to whatever is going to happen with Dogecoin. You know what I mean? And all my money's in Dogecoin. Oh, right, okay. It's now down 50, 60, 70% in a couple of days. What are you going to do now? You've got no money to actually average down either.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, you know, and any other stock out there, it's just, you've got to be very, very careful. You know, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, Pete, and I share the information I share with people, is because I want people to be in the market for a long, 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 long time. So they get to where you and me are, where we've got the financial freedom to do stuff, and then they pay it forward to somebody else. They help somebody else to become an investor. They help someone else to become a better investor, and so on and so on and so forth. They pass it down to the grandchildren. Yeah, they pass it down to their auntie who's never thought about investing before, and so on and so on and so forth. And that just builds a beautiful community of people caring about each other, giving back to each other, not just taking and leveraging friendships to make money off. That's what's wrong. That's what makes me angry about some of the stuff that's going on at the moment.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. It's like, you know, the point is, if people work in a positive, sharing, team-minded kind of attitude, then, you know, they can find like-minded people who are going to help them with their investing rather than people who are going to be exploiting them, which, you know, there's just nothing more irritating. You mentioned something there that, again, is another great point. You mentioned sustainable, and I think that's a really good point, because, you know, this year it's been very much a risk on year. You know, this concept of risk on, risk off. Yeah, it's been very much a risk on year. And to be honest with you, it's been really easy to make money this year. But the thing is, it's like a lot of people think they're doing really well because all of their, you know, whatever they've got in their portfolio has done really well, and they think they're geniuses, and well, they may well be. But the point is their strategy something that's sustainable? If they were to continue being successful like they are, let's say they are brilliant and they were, you know, if they continue being successful like they are, have they got a system, an approach, a method? Are they buying the right kind of stocks where they can actually scale up and take this forward in future years as their returns compound? I think there's a lot of people are going to find themselves trapped into this world of little tiny illiquid, junky little crappy AIM stocks that just can't be scaled. Yeah, it may work on, you know, tuppence halfpenny, but it ain't going to work when you've got 200,000 quid to invest in something.
No, I mean, that's a really good point, Pete. I mean, the FTSE year to date is up over 11%. So if you've correlated that across the other markets, most people have done well. The average IPO so far is up an average of 24%, despite Deliveroo not delivering. There's a joke in there. Hope you don't miss that one, Pete.
I'm jumping around for Deliveroo.
So there is the risk. There are some people who bought into that Deliveroo IPO that are sitting now on a 30% plus loss. And going back to not getting it right all the time, Pete, I've got a stock. I mean, I was saying to you, I was celebrating, you know, the market's being kind to me and my portfolio being at a high only last week. And there's a stock called TPG, there's a ticker. And I'm sitting on that waiting for them to say, oh, we've sold our maritime business and we've done that, we sold that off, and we've got a shed load of money for it, and you know, here you go, the shares are now going to go up 30, 40, 50%. They came out with news, it was mediocre news, it was doing relatively okay, the share price got spanked 18%, they've gone down another 10% today, and I'm sitting here, I'm the only guy on Twitter I think that currently owns that stock, right? And it's been absolutely spanked. So going back to position sizing, I'm looking at that and thinking, oh crikey, okay, you know, I've got whacked on it. But it's not got me to the point where I'm like, you know, wailing and gnashing my teeth, because despite it being down so much in the last couple of days, it doesn't drag the whole of my portfolio down, Pete.
Yeah.
I've got other stocks that are up 100%, 200%, 300%. AstraZeneca's up stupid percent, so they've had it since 1994. But some people, I'm not saying I don't know anybody that's got all their money in TPG. I hope they haven't. But lots of people have got two or three or four or five stock, Pete. And if it goes down 25% in a heartbeat, they'll be wiped out. That'll be them frustrated and walking away from investing. I don't want that for anybody. You know, and people say, Pete, you know, sometimes you're on your podcast and, you know, we will talk at length about that stock and that stock, but you rarely talk about your stocks that you bought or whatever. You just say, oh, this is the name and da da da. You don't talk about it much. That's part of the reason, because I don't want to say too much about stock and then people go, oh, I got that idea off Pete and I bought into it. You know, because when it goes pear-shaped, whose fault is it? It's mine.
Yeah, exactly, it isn't.
And I'm trying, the reason why, people, is I'm not trying to influence anyone to buy any of the stocks that I'm in. I can't say that enough, you know.
Well, that's exactly that. I mean, you know, what we're trying to do is to show people, I mean, certainly what I'm trying to do is to show people what I do, explain why I'm doing what I do. And, you know, if people copy my trades and they lose money, well, you know, there's not a lot I can do about it. And really, you know, people shouldn't just blindly copy any trades that anybody does, you know, and you've got to do your own research. It's just like so obvious, you know.
It is, mate.
I was thinking, so, oh, yeah, mate, TPG, right? Am I right in thinking Phil Cartmell is the CEO?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I've read their results a few times and sort of thought, it looks sort of interesting, but it didn't really grab me. And then do you know what I realised? I think it used to be Red Hall Group. Is it RHL or something? And I lost damn money on that one a while ago. So I'm...
That's why it's lingering in your memory then. Oh my God.
Named Phil Cartmell. I thought, why do I know that name? And do you know, I really hate this, right? When you get a company that struggled in the past and then they change their name and everything, and it's like, however on the ball you are, you sort of forget that it changed its name and you're reading it again, thinking, oh, that looks quite good. You're sort of forgetting the fact that it was an absolute pain in the ass when you had it before. And you could have so easily got sucked into TBG again. Do you know what I mean? Without using the brain. And it was just a simple fact that I recognised that name, Phil Cartmell. I kept thinking, why do I recognise that name? And then it came to me.
Yeah, well, maybe you should have shared that name with me, Pete, and, you know, and his history. I mean, the thing is, I did check him out, as I always do. I always look at the CEOs and all the rest of it. And maybe that was just an amber flag for me. And I thought, you know what? Assets under management, you know, it's not assets under management, some of the parts and all the rest of it. I just saw, you know, it was 30, 40, 50% above the SOTP. And therefore, I was buying it at a discount. I thought, you know what? If they do this and do that, this is what will happen. And so far, it hasn't happened. I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but that's what happened. You will get it wrong half of the time, and it's about the fact that when you do get it wrong, it doesn't impact you too much, and when you do get it right, it impacts you more, you know, positively. So, you know, it is what it is, Pete.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, all credit to you that you're prepared to mention it on the podcast, because I know that I'm sure there's a lot of people on podcasts who never tell you what ones went wrong.
Pete, I will always talk about the things that went wrong, mate, and I think because my greatest learning and the reason why I achieve what I achieve now is because my greatest learning has always been the ones that have absolutely knocked me on the chin. My mistakes are how I've got better over the past nearly 30 years, Pete. And without those mistakes, I'd still be a crap investor. You know, so if you're not out there learning anything, you're not doing anything, you know? Because every single day is a school day for me. I can't say that often enough.
And every mistake is something to learn from.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not something to wail your teeth and go gnashing your things and blame everyone else and freaking out on Twitter and being a complete lunatic.
We've all got opportunities to learn. We've all got opportunities to get better. And the difference between some people is that we'll seize the opportunity of learning. Other people will just go and decide that's enough and stop, or they'll just continue to find someone else they can follow on Twitter to get good ideas, but they won't learn, they won't improve.
And they won't get good ideas either.
They won't get good ideas on occasions, yeah.
Oh dear. Mate, can I talk about my new index spread betting system?
You can, Pete, but make it short and sweet, mate. You know me and spread betting and all the rest of it don't vogue well.
Don't mix. You and, mate, I'll tell you what, there's quite an interesting thing here, because What actually happened is you are the first person that I told about this new system.
I am, and I did say, what did I say to you when you told me? I said,
You
okay.
said you can mentor.
Yes, I wasn't going to share
No,
that on the
no.
podcast with people, but there you go.
Oh, dear.
I'm always honest, Pete. I don't filter honesty, mate. You take it or leave it.
I got a thick skin. Anyway, I got thick skin apart from my hips, which get constant pressure sores, but let's not go there.
Crack on with this, come on.
So, if listeners endured TPI 47, I think it was, and TPI 48, I talked at length about my approach to using spread bets, where effectively I create a mirror portfolio of stocks, and then I do a bit of hedging every now and again and whatever. So I do shorts on an index or whatever to make more money. Anyway, what happened was I was thinking about it, and I just kept looking at my spread bet portfolio of mirrored share spread bets. So I've got like say I've got like 50 normal stocks or something. I've probably got 30 spread bet long positions that sort of mirror, most of the ones in my share portfolio. Anyway, what struck me was there was this incredible correlation between the market, the index, and my spread bet account. So when the markets were good, my spread bet account went up in more value. When the markets were bad, my spread bet account went down. And I thought, why am I holding all of these individual stocks when I could actually replace it just with one index? And you sort of instinctively, I thought, well, an index isn't going to move as quick as my stocks are. But then I thought about it and thought, well, yeah, an index might only move, well, say, for instance, a FTSE 100, the total return, including dividends over like billions of years, is something like 7% a year compound annual growth rate, CAGR. And the similar compound average growth rate on the S&P 500 is 10%. So you sort of think, well, the growth is much slower. But the point is, you can do it on much less margin. So where I was using 20% margin deposit for my stocks, I only need 5% for index positions. So basically, what I'm doing, and I'm actually testing it now, I'm doing a test environment with just £3 a point long on a FTSE 100, and I started it last night. And basically, what I'm doing is sort of testing it and replicating what I'm talking about, replacing my individual share positions with index, which is FTSE 100 I've chosen, and I will be hedging using the FTSE 100, so you get an exact perfect match of the hedging. There's no mismatch because, there's a perfect match. Anyway, my point is, I'm testing the system. I hope to test it for 6 months or so. I've had several chats with some really great investors, traders that I know, including Michael Taylor at Shifting Shares, and a good friend that I was at college with who's an absolute genius on system thinking, and my mate Nazir on the emails. And basically, we put together this system. I've written out a thorough description of the system, which you can find on my Stocks and Markets blog page. It went out on Sunday night, and that's on Wheelie Dealer 2. So www.wheeliedealer2.weebly.com. The only other thing I'll just say quickly is I'm going to report on it every week, and I'm going to let people know exactly what's happening. I am expecting my expected return is 40% compound annual growth rate because of the leverage over time. And I think that is realistically and sensibly achievable as long as I keep my wits about me and I don't do anything really stupid. It's all there. I'm going to write a new set of rules as the test system develops, but I think I've pretty much outlined the rules in the description. Anyway, there you go.
Pete, 40% per annum.
It's mental. It's
That
honestly.
to me, I'm sitting here, I've read what you've said before, and I've seen it on Twitter. I'm going, and I looked and scratched my head at the time. And I think 40%, really?
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to compound that over, I don't know, even 5 or 10 years, you've got you've got a stupid amount of money, mate. I can't even do the calcs on it in my head quickly.
It's nuts.
That
I mean,
sounds too rich for me, mate. I really, you know, it sounds too high to me.
well, I
I
mean, I,
understand it's leveraged. I understand the leverage
yeah,
of it. Yeah.
it's the leverage that does it. But the thing is, I've effectively been running this system for 10 years. What is new to the system is that I've spent, 2, 3, 4 years obsessed by hedging. And it's my obsession with hedging that has led me to get to this position. And I think if people are intrigued, read my blog
Yeah.
and follow what I'm doing on it, because I'll be updating all the time. I might even devote a page on my website to this systematic approach. I
Perfect.
haven't worked on that, I haven't decided that yet, and it depends a bit on my health because it takes a bit of effort. But
Okay.
yeah,
Let me just caveat this though, Pete, because we've discussed this before, and you've been completely candid and honest regarding your hedging, right? And I'm saying this as a friend, right? And I'm saying, and I've said this to you before, and I'm sharing this with the listeners now, because the hedging that you've done historically has worked, but there's been occasions where it's not worked, and it's cost you 0.5% here or 1% there. You know what I mean? And there's times you've held on too long and did it. So what happens when it doesn't work, Pete? And you know, you're looking for 40%, and you end up getting 5, you get -5. How long are you going to run this? Because you're basically extending the other strategy to a slightly new tweaked nuance of a strategy. And you're going in straight away with new money, with real money, not pretend money like some people do.
Well, I think because I've had a lot of discussions with friends who are very sharp on this stuff, and
Yeah.
because I've been effectively running the same system myself for some time, I think I'm extremely confident. I'm
Okay.
99.
Okay.
I'm 99.5% confident that it will work. I'm testing it as a test system where I've only got £23,000 of exposure. No, 20, £21,000 of exposure because I'm doing £3 a point long on the FTSE 100. I'm
Yeah.
going to test it for 6, 7 months. I might test it longer if I'm not happy with what's happening and if I can see some tweaks. But the way we've designed the rules is designed to minimize losses so that if you hedge and you don't need to, the damage is very slight to the return. And the really important point here is that we think that the biggest failure in the system, apart from not following the rules, is that you will be too active. What you must do is you go long on the FTSE 100 and you just leave it alone. Your hedging, your small bit of shorting, should be extremely rare and extremely well thought through and extremely well managed with discipline.
Fair enough, mate. Yeah, fair enough. Well, I'll wish you well. I wish
Yeah,
you
no,
well.
mate, it's what I love about it. It's just a fascinating thing to be thinking about. Do you know what I mean? And I've really enjoyed getting stuck into it and testing it. And I love the fact that I've had so many people saying to me it won't work. And just makes me think, right, I'm going to
Pete,
make it
please
work.
don't make that your driver, mate. That's a very contrarian thing to do.
Well,
Everyone says it's going to fail, so therefore I'm going for it. You know what I mean?
mate, there's always an element of it in this game, isn't there? It's like,
Yeah.
I'm not a gambler, but I do get a lot of satisfaction out of proving people wrong.
Fair enough, mate. Oh dear.
Any of that make sense?
Yes, it did make sense, yeah. It did make sense, mate. It did make sense.
Oh dear. I'm going to actually, one thing I am going to do, I'm going to create a blog. Like I said, I'm going to do a blog with clear rules written down. But I'm also going to create a blog which has loads of scenarios, like examples that will say, what happens if the stock market falls 10%? What happens if the stock market falls 20%? What happens if the stock market falls 50%? What do you do and whatever, yeah? And also it'll say, what happens if the market rises 10%? What happens if it rises 20%? You see what I mean, yeah?
No,
So
I
I
get
think
that.
that'll help.
I get that. I get that.
Yeah.
Okie
And the other
dokie.
thing is, it's if it works, and I'm confident it will, it's incredibly cash
Yeah,
generative.
mate, 40% per annum, that's very cash generative, you know?
No, it's not just that, mate. The point
Throws
is,
off cash, yeah.
say you had, say, 100 grand exposure, yeah, not 100 grand a point, because that would be insane. Say you had 100,000 of exposure and you were running the system. If you made £10,000 profit that year, because you made 10%, yeah, 10 grand, You could actually take 75% of that, 7,500, out of your account, and the system would still work. And that is in the rules and whatever. I actually suggest you don't take 75, you only take 50. But anyway, that's not the point. But it's very cash generative.
Okay. Another time we might have to talk about the tax implications there regarding that as well, Pete. But we'll leave that for another time.
Tax-free.
Let's get
tax-free
into...
Tax-free on spread bets.
Yeah. Say again?
Tax-free on spread bets.
Okay.
No
okay.
tax
All right.
to be paid
okay.
unless you are a registered trader.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's talk some stocks then, mate. I'm going to
start... Oh, my brain's hurting, dude.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks Investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer via ShareePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPETES. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe to ShareePad today using the TWINPETES promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit sharescope.co.uk/sharepad for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Let's talk some stocks then, mate. I'm going to start...
Oh, my brain's hurting, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to throw... I'm still telling people about stocks that I've timestamped before. And this one's timestamped on Twitter from last year, November the 4th. New holding today, opened a position in the co whereby I'm effectively buying £1 coins for 40 pence. And that stock is called Equals, ticker symbol EQLS. And I've picked up that for 25 pence with a view to it being undervalued. Obviously, they were mainly in travel monies and all the rest of it. And they were getting absolute shellacking from the markets regarding that. And they're trying to transition to online payments, international, more technology-led now, and SMEs and all the rest of it. So I purchased that back in November at 25 pence. It's done all right. It's moving. It's getting themselves back and ready for a different type of market going forward. And it's doing okay. So we'll see how that goes. It's basically trying to refocus the business back to with business to business. So we'll see how that goes forward. So that's one of the ones that I've it used to be called Fair FX, Pete. I think that's how you remember it.
FX. Is it Ian Stafford Smith or something? Or Taylor Stafford or something is the CEO. How do I know that? Anyway,
Is Ian Stratford Taylor.
They, mate, I knew it was something like that.
Is that another one you're telling me I shouldn't be in because the CEO's rubbish?
No, I'm thinking of Ian Smith, Grinder Trader. Hi, Ian, you're right.
Ian Grinder Smith's all right. Don't be saying that about Ian.
I'm just looking at the chart on it, and it's an interesting one because it's definitely in a nice, steady uptrend now. And one thing that's noticeable is there's like a real sort of like resistance at 50p, but then, because it had dropped so much, if it can get above 50 pence, there's a fair chance it should charge up to 80, I think, and up to those kind of levels. Look at the natural resistance.
It's all about execution, Pete. As with all these things, you know, I try to buy at the near the bottom if I can. Doesn't stop it going, you know, and I try my best, but it doesn't stop it going lower.
It doesn't stop it making a new bottom.
Absolutely,
yeah,
mate, as we've just spoken about the other one. It's sitting there. I mean, the lows last year were really, really criminal, really. But if it's in the business of people needing to do transactions and travel monies and all the rest of it, then people weren't and will not be doing that. So we'll see what happens with the company. It's had a high of almost 150 back in 2018, so we can ignore that. Recent highs before March of last year was 88, 89 pence, and it crashed down to nearer to 20 pence. So it's at 40 odd pence at the minute. We'll see where it goes. If they execute, then they'll execute. If they don't, then it's another experiment that I've had that's failed. But that's the risk I've taken. Again, I position side accordingly to see if I'm right, and if I'm wrong, then I don't get impacted too much.
Absolutely makes sense.
Do you want to give us one of yours, Pete?
I got one. I'm sort of going to pick your brain on, really. I don't hold it, and it's a recent IPO. And it's that one, I've got a feeling I might have mentioned it on a previous podcast, but only in passing. It's that one, Music Magpie, MMAG. Just wonder what, have you got any thoughts about what its prospects might be, if it might be any good? Have you got any thoughts on it?
It's not one I've spent any time looking at, Pete. I think when I saw it IPO and I thought, oh, they're being very opportunistic now because the markets have been kind. And I just think sometimes you've got to be wary of the reasons why certain companies are IPOing when they're IPOing, because the going's good and everyone's, you know, optimistic. So let's get out while we can. I don't really know enough to get into the nuances of Music Magpie. So I don't know. I think it's one of them that's going to take a little while for the market to get used to, Pete, in a sense of what it does and whether or not it's got legs. And what, you know, what's
wings,
the,
mate? Whether it's got wings, you mean?
Pete, what's the moat on this company?
Well, do you know what? It's got me sort of, I'm not that serious about it. You know what I mean? But it's got me sort of puzzled and thinking. And one of the things that sort of hits me about it, I've read, you know, their update and stuff. It's been quite established for quite a while now. And what I find particularly interesting, we've talked about this before, because we talked about Biffa, B-I-F-F,
yeah,
and I think Shanks, S-K-S or something.
Yeah.
And it's all this sort of green theme and this sort of, well, it really, it's the whole recycling thing. And it's this circular economy idea. And the idea that people, you know, you buy secondhand things. Have you seen that? There's an app called Vinted that's always on telly. Right. For clothes,
the resale market and secondhand market is going wappy. There's things getting priced at £1 billion here and there for recycling clothes.
Well, I don't really know how successful these ones are going to be, but Music Magpie is interesting because it's got a brand. It started with CDs and books, but it's been sort of expanding into other recycling things and circular economy things. And I just think with apps and everything getting more sort of green and younger people especially thinking more in a green way. And a lot of people go to these apps to buy things and they're sort of in the habit of just recycling things. And I think there's going to be a real trend towards this. So maybe Music Magpie, that was it. They're doing tech as well. So they do things like phones and things, you know, redoing phones. Like there's some shops in the high street, and that one called Sex. Did I just say sex on the podcast?
Oh,
I think
I've did. I've tried not to. Sometimes, mate, refereeing is very difficult. So just let it pass, mate.
Mate, when you're the posh ringmaster, it's not an easy job.
Don't even go there. I can't. I mean, this is it. The last couple of weeks, people calling me posh. I'm like, you guys, you've seen me out and about. I am not posh. You know what I mean? I didn't go to a private school. I left school at 15. You know, I started with absolutely nothing. No one's ever given me a penny. And all I do is work. I graft, and now I've got myself established. I give as much as I can to charity. That's what I do. Never been posh, never will be posh.
Exactly. You know,
I might live somewhere that's posh, but that's,
because
I've grafted, Pete, you know?
Yeah, who's that, your daughter?
But the Music Magpie thing, Pete, you remember when you saw the first adverts? It was just about gadgets, remember? Just secondhand gadgets. And this guy...
I think back then it was just CDs.
Just CDs. Yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, and it's got bigger. Mate, we were talking about sex, right?
Don't talk about that.
I don't want anybody, you know, especially people of a certain age on the podcast getting overexcited here. But what I mean is there's a company, I think it's called CEX. And they're on your high street and they recycle like phones. You know, people... Kids buy phones from them all the time that have been like refurbished.
Pete,
and stuff.
Are you sure that's what it says on the header above their shop?
Either said that around Summers. I can't remember where.
No, you've got something mixed up. You're going in the wrong shop, mate. But let's not talk about your social life. Let's move on and talk about Magpie.
There's lots of strange objects in the
window.
So
Music Magpie started in a garage, Pete. Yeah?
In Stockport,
this guy started it. Founders Steve Oliver and Walter Gleason. And there you are, 2007, and now it's gone public and they're making an absolute mint. Market cap floated at £1.93, ticker symbol MMAG. When it floated at £1.93, had the market cap of £208 million, Pete.
Sounds a lot, doesn't it? Mate, are they still with it, those two people?
Yes.
See, I like that. I like founders who've started something, believed in it, sticking with it. If they were to leave, I'd be worried. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I love it when people take something from nothing and make a success of it. I just want to applaud them.
I mean, I'm not being funny, but, it does make me laugh a bit because, we get all the green stuff rammed down our throats 24/7 and how we're all such awful, nasty people. I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, I've got like a smaller carbon footprint than almost anyone I know. I might own a Seat Cupra and a Mazda MX-5, but I never drive them. So it's like, and I never fly anywhere. And it was really funny because they were talking today on some radio program and they were saying about how, food waste and how people are thinking more about not wasting food. I'm thinking, I've never wasted food in my life. I'll eat a yogurt that's hairy, green, rather than there's kids starving in Africa. Do you know what I mean? I just think throwing away food is one of the worst things you can do, which is probably why I got a problem with my stomach.
Right. Let me just say this for the ladies and gents that are speaking. If you can, please just keep checking your fridge and keep within the dates of certain things. Do not eat anything, especially yogurt, that's hairy. Do not listen to Peter Wheelie Dealer on this podcast when it comes to food, stocks, shares, anything.
Sex.
Right?
Oh, stop. Anything.
Stop. Oh, my gosh. What I have to do to get through this, I don't know.
It's not easy for the country.
Right. I'm briefly going to tell you about another one, Pete. Timestamp stock. Palace Capital, Pete, which I bought last July. So nearly a year from when I bought it. So I'll be putting out a link for that. What does it do? It's a property company. It's got a major project in York, the Hudson project or whatever it's called. I bought it because it was heavily discounted to NAV and I was hoping they'd continue to pay the dividend. On and off, the dividend's been intact. I suspect the dividends will increase as and when they sell most of their Hudson project in York. And I'm waiting to see what else to do with the portfolio. Neil Sinclair is a canny property guy. He's been at it for absolute years, and he's the sort of person who, if he sees a shrewd deal, he's always got cash available to go in and swoop and buy it. And that's the reason why I bought into that stock back in July of last year. We'll see what happens with that, and I'm looking to generate a bit of dividend from that as well going forward.
That's PCA, isn't
PCA,
it?
Yeah,
again, interesting chart. And do you know what really interests me with that one is it's like a chart that's very similar to the equals chart, EQLS, that you talked about. But the difference is where EQLS was still in this sort of low phase and it hadn't quite broken out of that. I think it was 50p level. With this one, it actually has sort of done the breakout and it's more advanced in that sense. And it's now at 261, but it's really coming up against a band of resistance which goes back about a year and a half, and you can see a band of resistance which runs from about, I don't know, 260 to £3 ish, and I think it could be hard work to get through that, but if it gets through it, you're laughing.
Yeah, I mean, they had their finals, their results out just a week or so ago, Pete, and they're basically saying that the rent collections are going up. So that was a bit of a, obviously back in March last year, they were driving to pay people to stay and stuff, and just give them breaks and all the rest of it. But the rents collection is at 95% now, so they were quite happy to increase it's a quarterly dividend payer as well, Pete. So I like that as well. They increased their dividend by 20%, so that's not too bad, and they're looking to increase that going forward as well.
But do you know what the dividend is?
Say again, sorry.
Do you know how much the dividend is as like a yield?
For the year at the minute, it's 10 pence. So whatever the what's that? It's probably 5% ish.
Or,
the 5%.
yeah, or that sort of
Yeah,
number, yeah.
at current price, about 4%, four and
And
a
you
half
said it's
percent.
going up as well,
Yeah,
so.
so we'll see what happens. But for me, it's about them coming out and saying they sold most of the Hudson Quarter project in York. And the more of that they sell, the more cash they've got, because of investing and building, investing and building that. Get those properties developments sold now. And then more and more money goes into the coffers, and then recycle that to the next project, the next project. Nice. I like the occasional REIT just to generate some cash, and it means that, as I keep saying to people, during the summer I can just chill out and not be bothered by the markets. I've got a few more to share with you another time, Pete. What else have you got?
What I want to talk about is one that's hurt me a lot and it's peed me off a bit, and that is Clinigen, CLIN, and it's goddamn frustrating because what happened is it was going nicely, I was quite happy with how it was, recovering and stuff, and it was doing pretty well, and I'm thinking, yep, Clin's going to do okay, and I quite like the company, in terms of what it does and stuff, because it's like a sort of medical company that does like they do they got like three divisions. One of it is supplying drugs and things for clinical trials. One of it is a bit like Venture Life Group VLG, and a bit like Alliance Pharma APH, which do like they buy drugs from drugs and medical things from big drug companies who really can't be bothered with it anymore because it's too small and irrelevant for them. But for someone like Clin, it's worth doing. And they also do a thing called Global Access, I think it is, which I think is a fantastic thing where they sort of their whole strategy is to get the right drug to the right patient at the right time around the world. And I think that's, fantastic from a sort of ethical thing, if you like, whatever. It's a great thing to be doing. Anyways, that's all good. But the problem they've got is that because hospitals have been sort of focused on COVID and stuff around the world, the recovery in hospital use of other drugs for treating cancer and whatever is, too slow, and it's going to hurt their revenues and hurt their profitability. And the same thing with clinical trials. Lots of research and clinical trials is being put on hold because the labs are being used for flipping COVID tests and vaccination production or whatever they're being used for. Yeah, the score, mate.
I do, mate, but right now, the fact that that's what is a being prioritized, I don't mind. I think the problem I've got with it regarding certain people, and I've lost a few people in the last 18 months of this lockdown, is the fact that certain other, as you said, the prioritizing COVID, fine, but you've got to make space and room for the people that need these cancer ops and these other ops, to actually get the care and the attention that
I'm
they
the
need.
same,
You
it's
should have
just
a parallel sort of thing going on, Pete, where one in three hospitals continue to do all of this much needed stuff.
yeah,
Otherwise, we're going to lose more and more of our loved ones, mate. And it's
there's
not on.
no doubt that's happening. On the Clin situation, so it's had this like mega drop, which really stung. But it sort of went down to, I don't know, say it went down to 550p or something, and it sort of crawled back up over the last 5 days or so to 628. But I think it's in that sort of phase now where it's just going to sort of wiggle sideways for a while, and it's going to either do what is known as a bearish ledge, where it sort of goes, so it has a big drop, goes sort of sideways, and then it drops again, yeah? And you really don't want a bearish ledge. It's the worst blinking thing there is. And it's you can think of a bearish ledge as the opposite of a bullish flag. So on a bullish flag, the stock jumps up, it wiggles sideways for a bit, and then it jumps up again. So it's like an inverse image, if you see what I mean. Anyway, my point on that is we need it to wiggle forward for a while and then break up. Yeah, break upwards. So let's see what happens.
Okay. Pete, you wanted to talk about one particular stock today that's been absolutely smashed. Do you want to lead on that one?
Oh, BOTB. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's That's an interesting one. I don't know where it closed in the end. So that's best of the best,
It
which
closed
is...
down 27% and finished at £19 per share.
Yeah, so pretty much sort of at the low of the day. I mean, it's one of those where it's been a real bulletin board, Twitter, whatever, favorite of everybody, and everyone's been piling into it and all the usual stuff. And you talk about it a lot. You talk about crowding, and then sometimes when you've got a stock and you're seeing everyone else is buying it, yeah, I know that's nice and you get excited, but really you've got to think to yourself, hang on, if everyone's buying it, how many of these people are actually quite weak hands and they're going to panic and they're going to chuck it out as soon as the slightest thing happens? You know what I mean? All the panic merchants hit that sell button. And I think BOTB definitely came into that category where everyone was just crowding it so bad.
The thing for me, Pete, is that the crowding tends to cause casualties. On and off today. I spent, just backtrack a little bit. I spent yesterday, most of yesterday, out with my pal, he's in a bit of a bad way, and I spent the day with him. And hopefully, Ricky, hello, mate. Hope you're listening to this podcast. I had a fantastic day out with him, and we just chilled, and we did some mindfulness. We did all manner of different things, just to get him back in a really, really good place. The problem I have. With stocks and with the market, sometimes when it's crowded, is that invariably there will be casualties. That's the right word I'm looking for, Pete. Casualties. Keep a theme of Plin. It's casualties because some people have got into the stock quite late. Yeah, I've spent today completely different, mate. From 8:30 to an hour before we did this podcast, I've been dealing with casualties of BOTB. Right. Experienced people and inexperienced people that got involved with BOTB at various different prices. Not one of them are in profit regarding that particular stock, right? And and I don't mind sharing and caring and doing and helping these people. I can't give them advice, but I can just, look at this. Have you considered that? Da-da-da. And that's what I try and do when I try and help people, anonymously via DMs. But I'm always brutally honest. Yeah, and they're saying to me, "Oh, this happened with Fevertree. That this happened with Novasight. This happened with MMX. This happened with PCF." And I'm going, "Well, what have you learned? Why do you keep doing that?" And my first question is, "What led you to buy BOTB?" And more often than not, it's the same reply. Oh, X, Y, and Z was talking about that person talked about it at that show. That person said they'd bought a shed load of it. And I'm saying to them, "Well, how much research did you do on regarding BOTB?" And that's my question because I always over research everything. I know that, but vast majority of them haven't done a lot of research on it, Pete.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
and this morning it's like I read the RNS and it looked like it was okay. And I'm saying there's a big line there that says April, this has happened. What did you read that as? Yeah,
yeah, it's
and for me, and I keep saying it to people, research your own stock, know what's going on. If you've got a conviction in it and you bought it and you're still holding it, well done. If you bought it early and you're still in profit, well done. But if you're buying it at £24 because they've got the placing, yeah, or £30 because it's gone up from the placing, and you think of fearing of missing out, when the music stops and everyone's exiting, you're probably going to be left holding that stock.
Yeah, and you've got to either be comfortable with that because you know the company well, or you're going to have a panic. Dude, I need to talk about a couple of things really fast, Jeff, if we've got time.
Yeah, go for it.
Oh God, which right. One of them is we talked about a lateral thinking thing last week, and it was the one where two people meet up. They're both siblings. They were both born on the same day to the same mother, but they're not twins. A lot of people got the answer, a lot of people didn't. The answer is they're triplets.
Oof.
Oh, right. Another quick lateral thinking one for you. And this one is there's two bodies dead on the floor, there's glass, and there's water. What's happened? And then another thing that I need to, and we'll give you the answer on the next one. Anyway, another thing I want to throw in quickly is, we announced the other day the probably the 7th or the 8th Wheelie Bash, and this year it's taking place on the 4th of September. And I'd love it if every listener to this podcast can come along, and I'm sure you'll all really enjoy it. It's free to attend. It's at the White Hart pub in Winkfield near Windsor, which is near Legoland. And so you can leave the kids there, and yeah, brilliant. And then the other thing about it is it starts at 12 o'clock and it runs till we go home, usually when Phil the landlord kicks us out. And basically, come and go as you like, and everybody's invited. It don't matter what you are, it doesn't matter if you're experienced or inexperienced. It's a great atmosphere. Everybody always gets on. It's a great laugh, and I recommend people come, and I'd love to see you there.
Yeah,
Oh,
I must admit, historically, all I've ever seen is good vibes regarding that particular event that you run, Pete. And
yeah, and it's.
people always look happy, whether it's rain or shine. You know what I mean? So it always goes down well.
Well, we've been so lucky because the sun's shone every single year we've done it, except for one year it rained for about a couple of hours and we had to hide indoors, and then we went out in the garden again, so it was just magic. One thing I want to say on that is, if you're on Twitter, DM me. My DMs are open, and you'll get a slot. And otherwise, email me. So that's wheeliedealer@btinternet.com. Whew, that's all the adverts done, mate.
Okie dokie. I didn't actually quite finish on the BOTB.
Oh, sorry. I just didn't
Just
want
to
to get
say,
wheelie
regarding
back.
anybody that's got that particular stock, my commiserations to them. I've been there where something's fallen 25%, 27%, 30%, and higher. And it's just one of them things, it goes with the territory. We wake up in the morning and there's fantastic news that this stock that we've got has won a major contract, or it's been taken over a crazy or a fantastic premium, and we rejoice and we go, whoa, that's my stock, happy days. Occasionally, we have to take the rough with the smooth, and occasionally we have these events regarding stocks that don't go well or do a profit warning. But we can sometimes prepare ourselves and be ready just by reading and looking between reading between the lines regarding stuff. I think the person's name is Tim Steer. The book is called The
Yeah.
Signs Were There. And that's a fantastic book. Just to read a bit more as to looking up for the little nuances and the tells regarding certain stocks. I spoke many podcasts ago about a stock called Motive Bio. And just something I'd read and something I'd seen, I thought, I'm getting out of that stock. And I made a small loss in getting out of it. And everyone went, you're crazy, mate. This is not going to happen. And the shares fell. I think that stock has now delisted, a couple of years later, for less than a penny. But I got out because I was just trying to read between the lines. And I got out, took a little small loss and got out, So sometimes you have to be willing to take a loss sometimes. And also, not follow it goes back to what Pete and I keep saying: do your own research, don't listen to the herd, no matter who it is, no matter how many followers they've got or not got, no matter what platforms they're talking on. Please do your own research, because we're all going to get it wrong at some point, and it's better for you to get it wrong from your own research than following somebody else.
Mate, I've got a very, very quick thing to say. I'm aware that we've gone on a bit. Just want to say, I had one today, Yately, GTLY. My shares were sort of like wiggling around, a lot of red on the screen, but nothing too dramatic. And then, I don't know, around midday, I was like, oh my God, what's happened? GTLY is down like 7.9%. I'm like, oh my God. And I look at the news, and it was basically a cyber attack. And I read it calmly and thought about it, and it basically said, we've had a cyber attack. It's only affected 0.2% of our data, so it's basically nothing. They said they've had the experts in and stuff. They're sorting it out. They said it'll have no impact on revenues and profits. And it looks like it's under control. So and then it rallied, and it was only down 2.8% of the close. So fingers crossed, hopefully it'll be all right. But it just shows the importance of calmly reading the RNS and understanding what's written in it.
It goes back, Pete, again, and you're saying calm, and I use the word psychology. You've got to have the psychology and the resilience to deal with knocks. You've got to have the psychology and the resilience to be able to stay relaxed and calm and actually digest and look at the news and not panic. Because the way that you make your wealth in investing, and Pete's been doing it 20 odd years, I've nearly done it nearly 30 years, you make your most money after 3, 5, 10, 15 years. If you get shaken out of a stock, it's tougher to get back in it at a higher price when it sorted itself out. Some people will buy new highs, some people won't. But if you've bought a stock that's cost you money, and Pete's given a couple of examples today, and I've given you one as well, when it's cost you money, it's so psychologically difficult to go back and buy it again.
Oh, God. And in some cases, that's a good thing, but in
sometimes
cases,
a good thing.
Bad absolutely. Thing. You have to adjust your brain to the new circumstance.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked a little podcast ago, Pete, about Ashtead.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone ever talks about AHT? It's one of the best stocks performance-wise over the past 20-odd years.
Yeah.
Never talked about. And it got absolutely walloped when, you know, 20-odd years ago when it was down at a penny share sort of a moment. And some people never, ever went back and bought that stock.
Well, you hold a grudge, don't you?
You hold a grudge.
You hate the fact that it costs you money. I definitely hold a grudge on stocks. It's like they've got it in for me personally. I hate
like the Carry On films, mate.
Oh, man, I just hate some of them, I'll tell you.
Right, we're going to call it a wrap there, folks. Once again, Pete and I have rambled on, and we probably took too long to get to the chase with most usual.
Bored you senseless.
Thank you, ladies and gents, for putting up with us. Thank you for subscribing on all the various different platforms. Some of you are doing really, really well because, you know, this is going out to subscribers, and we're getting feedback almost within minutes, whatever time it goes live, that you've already got it booked to watch it at a later date, or you've watched it within the first hour. So wherever you are in the world listening to our podcast, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for the good feedback. Thank you for the bad feedback, because without it, we wouldn't have got it to the level that we've got it to. And there's still room for improvement, we know. But thank you ever so much for subscribing to the podcast. Take care of yourselves. Be kind as best you can. I've got some fantastic news. I'm going to see my mum and dad on Saturday, staying up there for a few days, staying in a hotel, but I'm spending as much time with them as possible. So I'm absolutely buzzing. Dates booked, on it like a car bonnet, as my daughter would say.
Parents, you don't have them forever, mate.
Absolutely. And this is what I was saying in a tweet the other day. Just cherish the people that we love. You know, give them what you can, because we don't know. Life is fleeting for people. You know, so enjoy your life, be kind, and do what you can, and do what you can in the community. Take care. God bless. Pete and I are here on Twitter. Our DMs are open. If you need any help, just give us a holler and a shout. Take care. God bless.
Bye.
This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast was brought to you in association with SharePad from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.